Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. Sean Carey here in just a second. Steve checks in from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can get in touch with us anytime by email. Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. And we always have 3 months of shows archived on our website, stevejonesshow.com, and also you can subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. Shows automatically drop right into your smartphone and tablet after we have them live on WKOK. So go to either Apple Podcast app, iTunes, Google Play, and search Steve Jones Show. A lot happening on today's show. Quite a few guests in the pipeline. Looking forward to that very much. Josh Getzoff from the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network will join us. All good things must come to an end. 1,109 days was the last time the Pittsburgh Penguins lost a playoff series. It came to an end last night with the Washington Capitals for the first time since 1998 and for only the third time in franchise history going to an Eastern Conference final as they take on Tampa Bay. So we'll get Josh's take on the 17-18 Penn season after a bit. Also, down the line, we'll have a great NFL talk with Neil Coulong from the Steelers Wire and the NFL Wire Network. 76ers are still alive in the playoffs, finally getting a game over Boston. And Cleveland sweeping out Toronto. We'll have some NBA talk later on. 4:35 scheduled to join us, Keith Smith. He's from RealGM.com. And also host of the NBA Front Office Show podcast. So get Keith's take on hoops. And by the way, there are two NBA playoff games tonight, and both of them could be series clinchers. Both series out west. 3-1 leads for Houston and Golden State. Houston, Utah, and Golden State, and the New Orleans Pelicans. See if the Rockets can close out the Jazz. And the Warriors knocking out the Pelicans later tonight. That's a TNT doubleheader tonight on TV.
There you go. Okay, so the pivotal game for the Sixers and the Celtics will be tomorrow night. If the Sixers can win that game, now that changes the dynamics of what we're watching. Because now you go back home for Game 6, then it's winner-take-all in Game 7. Now, the bothersome part for the Sixers is this. Brad Stevens is really good at adjustments. And Al Horford didn't really have a great game last night. You know, for him, by his standard. That is a pro's pro right there in Al Horford. Every team would love to have an Al Horford. We're talking about being universally respected. Oh. So, yeah, that's the key. Washington and the Penguins. I felt the Penguins played a really good game last night. And I still felt like 75% of the time they were getting outplayed. And, you know I picked Washington to win the series. So obviously, for me, I'm not that surprised.
I was just waiting for a spark. I mean, I was just waiting for Pittsburgh to get going. I mean, Washington just looked faster. They looked sharper. They were more physical than Pittsburgh. And the first thing I thought of, and you brought up Chris Letang on yesterday's show. First thing I thought of last night when Evgeny Kuznetsov hit the, went down the right down the middle and got that game-winning goal about 5.5 into overtime. And there's Letang trailing and throws his stick. And Chris Letang giveth and Chris Letang taketh away.
Yeah. Certainly did that. Now, on today's show, Josh Getzoff from the Penguins Radio Network is going to join us. Neil Coulong makes his return. And Keith Smith from RealGM.com and the host of the NBA Front Office Show podcast is going to join us in the final half hour. So we have a lot going on today's show. I was reminded yesterday by someone that we did not provide a suit update on the world's most famous back. Have you run into him at all?
Yeah, I ran into him first thing this morning and doing good. Didn't hear any wincing or grimacing or anything like that.
Because normally this is a guy that uses stuff to his advantage and is out for days and days.
You're saying he's milking this for all it's worth?
Quite frankly, yes. You know me, I don't pull punches.
No.
Oh, no, I wouldn't think that. Even though everybody, he's like, Jamie's back there going, oh, yeah. He's milking it.
Actually, he was in a closed-door meeting last night when I left the building. He was still here when I left last night.
Was he playing Candy Crush? What was he doing? Just asking.
No. I didn't knock on the window to find out. So.
Are you not conceding that it is not a possibility?
No, I'm not condoning that statement.
Our digital media sales going, oh, I got the level 6. My goodness, he's at level 6 of... level 6 of digital media sales. My goodness, what does that mean?
I'll start to get very concerned if he hits Expert 1 status on Golf Clash. That's my game. I love playing Golf Clash.
Never heard of it.
Yep.
No, seriously, I've never heard of it.
Yep, that's a fun golf game on the iPhone.
Oh, how about that?
Yep.
I use real clubs.
You do.
I went out last night. Yes. I went out last night. Well, first of all, here it's bulk collection week here. Okay. I always refer to it as the bulk collectors convention coming to town. It's amazing. They come in here. It's like a bulk collectors convention. And you put stuff out, and then Fright Night occurs, where all of a sudden you can hear, especially if your windows are open, people rummaging through your stuff in the front yard.
Dumpster diving without the dumpster.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Hey, your trash, his treasure. You know, could be. Yeah.
But then pride takes over when you go out the next day and you look out and there's some stuff left in your yard and my next door neighbor, the Hopis, you're looking at them like, hey, wait a minute. They took all their stuff. What's wrong with mine?
My junk's junkier than I thought it would be.
My goodness, what kind of deal is this? This isn't how it's supposed to operate.
We're getting rid of this stuff, but I thought we were being tasteful in the process.
Excuse me, I thought my junk was good junk. Sure, I don't want any more. I bought better junk.
This is where you draw the fine line between junk and crap.
I just,
You go from winter, which just decided to hang on for as long as possible, and then you jump right into bulk night in Center County.
It's just,
boom, boom, boom.
So, I put out some chairs. I put out a shredder. I put out a table. Boxes. Finally got a chance to get rid of boxes. We have discriminating Trash people here. You put out a box. Nope, can't take it. It's a box. Put it in the pack.
Come on.
What are you doing?
Oh, you can recycle that, sir.
It's right back over. It's like, well, no, it's got to be cut up in a certain way. Just take it.
Come on.
Just take it, for goodness sakes. I've been to the transfer station. There's no discrimination there, okay? It all just goes into the same pile. I got it. One time at Channel 3, they have a garbage area, right? And, you know, it's not big. It's just in the break room. And you have compost, you have paper, you have plastic, you have metal, and you got to pick the right one. So I'm standing there one day, and I went to Dunkin' Donuts, and I bought this cup of coffee, and it's in a styrofoam cup. Okay? How about that? Right. So now I go into the break room, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at which one do I throw this into. like you got to be kidding me. So all of a sudden I went, and these two women are sitting at this table, and I hear, right? You know me. I turned around and went, what? You're about to throw that styrofoam cup into the wrong area. And I looked around and I said, okay, let's get something straight. You do know what recyclables are, right? What do you mean? I said, glorified garbage. I tossed it in one of the receptacles and left. I'm thinking, like, what the heck? Who put you in charge of life? Okay.
He's staring in front of the recycle bin for such a long time. Well, I have to stare at the number to make sure if it qualifies. Okay.
I'll go back to announcing games, and you go back to doing whatever it is you do. I said, because you're not in charge of garbage.
Glorified garbage.
Look, I was trying. Okay? I was trying. I was giving it an effort. Right? And then I get,
what?
That's you know me. What?
No, my name is Steve.
I'm not going to put up with you. Just my luck. I got the recycling police hanging around for the day. You want to come over to my place and determine whether I can put this out for bulk collection or not? What? I went back to my office and sat down. I go, who do we have working here? Go back to your office and do something, will you? It's a garbage area. Oh, some days you just wake up and wonder.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, how is the suit? No, we'll come back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Here's Adam Purdy with another example of how Purdy Insurance is different.
I was at home one Saturday when I got a call from a client who had just been in an auto accident with a rental car in Canada. After confirming that everyone was okay, I checked his policy and assured him that we had the proper coverages in place. Within a few minutes, I had his claim called in and he was back to enjoying his vacation.
Purdy Insurance has been answering calls like this for over 90 years.
Give Purdy Insurance a call today at 800-677-2478 to see what we can do for you.
Josh Getzoff on the Penguins postmortem and more in the Stanley Cup playoffs next half hour. Neil Kulong on the Steelers, 4:06. And final half hour, Keith Smith, RealGM.com, and the home of the NBA Front Office Show podcast to the final half hour. Tomorrow, Mark Narducci, Philadelphia Inquirer, on the Sixers and the Celtics. All right, so we've got all that coming up for you the next couple of days. No show on Thursday. Oh, why the applause? Okay. I saw you there.
Mm-mm.
Okay?
No.
I saw Route 15. No, Route 15, I saw him. Driving, it's like all of a sudden, put your hands back in the wheel. Stop clapping. Yeah, you. You know what I'm talking about. You going over the bridge on 61? Yeah, okay. I'm talking to you. All right. So that's what we have coming up. Now we've had the glorified garbage story of the day. Like, ew. Who are you people? Just let me do the games, okay? I'm all right. Okay. We throw these into the big barrel on that floor. There is no like selection. And not only that, they take the creamery ice cream and they put them in styrofoam cups too. Oh my goodness. Well, so that was last night's. But again, you do have a sense of pride. Whoa, wait a minute. Well, how come they took the Hopi stuff? What about us? What about our junk? Isn't our junk good enough for you? I did put out 3 old TVs. Now, everybody has a flat-screen TV. Well, I've had these TVs that were, you know, they were in the kids' room. And you know, the kids aren't here anymore. I mean, well, by the way, just a slice of news.
Okay.
A slice of news.
Mm-hmm.
It looks, okay, you know that I have one daughter married, Andrew's in the Air Force, and she's in Guam.
Correct.
Right? So, of course, during the entire, I'm a tough guy, North Korean leader deal, he's threatening, where did he keep threatening?
And actually getting close to their 1-year anniversary. Man, time flies.
Right, right, right. So, where did he keep threatening? He kept threatening Guam.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now it looks like that's on a really good path. Okay. And not only that, but they're coming back.
Wonderful.
And
back to the States?
D.C.
Very nice.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. Happy mom.
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking, like California or Texas, but D.C., no. Yeah, you take that.
Well, they looked at you had to put down options. And he put down options. One of them was Colorado, and I know he'd really like to live in Colorado. I do. He grew up out there. Right. But you know what? He picked a bunch. He did put Colorado down, but down on the list. But he's put a bunch of places that would make her happy first. See, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Unlike his father-in-law. As the people on this show can attest to, yeah, that's right.
I thought he passed. I thought he easily passed your test. It wasn't your test you had to worry about.
Me. I'll tell you right now, I am the absolute softy of the group.
Yes.
Okay. Like, hey, he seems like a nice guy to me.
What?
What?
Isn't he a nice guy?
He seems okay to
Well, that's great news. That's awesome. They're heading home.
Got a few more months.
Wonderful.
A few more months.
Hey, by the end of the summer, that's excellent.
October, I think they'll be here for good. Now, she may have to come back earlier because obviously she wants to look for a job down there. And to its credit, it is the land of 100% employment. So, Washington, D.C., where everybody has a job. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. Decided this half hour I would use a glass and not a styrofoam cup. It just seemed easier on the decisions later. You ever see the movie Spectre?
I've not seen that one.
It's a Bond movie. Daniel Craig's the last one that came out. I guess the next one's coming out in a year and a half or something like that. And they bring him some probiotic enzyme shake or something like that. It's some green thing. You know? They go, and that's because somebody else ordered it and they give it to him. And he says, here it is, your probiotic something other enzyme shake. Takes his hand and pushes it back toward the bartender, and he says, why don't you just pour that down the toilet? Cut out the middleman. All right, so. All right. The Washington Capitals. I picked the Capitals to win. I just felt like it's interesting. The Penguins have done a great job. You know, we talk about windows of opportunity for teams to win championships, and the Penguins have taken full advantage of that by winning back-to-back Stanley Cups. And, in fact, they extended it to 9 consecutive series won, which I want to say the last team let's face it, the Islanders obviously did that. But winning 9 consecutive series, including the one they won in the opener this year against the Flyers, I mean, that's a remarkable accomplishment. And they did a great job of filling in spots over the last couple of years when they needed a little help here and a little help there just to get them over the top. Now you've got Washington. Washington, in my opinion, is actually at the end of its window. This was either do it or break the team up. You know, they're older in certain spots. And they took advantage of it and they won. They played really well, too. Holtby was outstanding. Now they got the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think Tampa Bay might beat them. I'll say in 6, but I wouldn't doubt it would be 5. I think Tampa Bay's that good. Let's bring in Josh Getzoff now from the Penguins Radio Network and recap what we've watched. Josh, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on, Steve. Great to be with you.
It's funny. In watching last night's game, and it's my observation. You tell me what you think. I felt the Penguins played really well last night, and yet I still felt like the Capitals outplayed them 75% of the time.
Yeah, I thought the Penguins came out, and in my opinion, the beginning looked kind of tight, which was unusual, and probably was a bad omen when you look back on it. They just looked like they were a little bit nervous, and for the first time in a long time, I thought feeling the moment. And then, to your point, once the Penguins kind of straightened things out, I still didn't think they really ever dictated the play. I didn't think Washington was dominant, but I definitely think they played the game that they wanted to play, missing 3 top 6 forwards and keeping it to more of a defensive style game, more of a tight checking game, as opposed to what the Penguins you'd think want to do in that kind of a situation with those players out of the Washington lineup and try to open it up. And they really weren't able to do that. And again, credit to the Caps.
I almost felt in the last 5 minutes the Penguins were playing not to lose and they were playing to get to overtime.
Yeah, I've had that feeling for both teams, I think, a little bit. I don't know why the Penguins, like I said, I felt like that the opportunity was there when Backstrom was ruled out, that you knew you were going to have the advantage down the middle. And I know I'm not trying to fool myself into thinking that Evgeny Malkin's 100%, and really anyone for that matter.
Kessel's not.
Yeah, right. Kessel, Broussard, I mean, for that matter, those guys, you thought based on paper, I mean, with what the Penguins had then and the Capitals did not have, that they'd be able to really get to their game a little bit more, especially with the matchups down the middle. And, you know, they won the battle in the faceoff dot, but that doesn't mean anything as far as what happened in the game last night, because I would say the more important faceoffs and stages in the game, whether they were defensive zone draws for the Penguins, were won by the Capitals or vice versa at the other end of the ice. So, you know, it's obviously it was going to end sometime for the Penguins. This is a really tough opponent for them. It always has been. They've just had the better of them head-to-head. But these series have always been tight. They've always gone six or seven games. I don't think anyone was surprised by the fact that this one stretched into the six-game territory. And, you know, you tip your hat to the Capitals, because I think that, as you said, they were the better team last night. They were the better team the entire series. And Braden Holtby was the best player. And they'll go on and face Tampa.
The Penguins won nine consecutive series. Nine straight. Amazing that they did that. But at some point, the window has to close because of the way the rules are. I mean, you know, salary caps, things like that. How do you structure a team and so forth? In the end, looking back, because of everything, you know, players that they lost, maybe not fill, where were the gaps?
I think the gaps this year, Mike Sullivan said a very telling line, I thought, in his post-game press conference last night, where he just said that they did not get enough. This is an obvious statement, but when you look at it and compare it to the last couple of years, he said they did not get enough from everybody. Everybody's best game was not there. And I think when you know, in talking to other broadcasters around the league the last couple of seasons, when they've come into Pittsburgh and we've gone on the road, the big thing they say is, man, you know, those Penguins, when they're winning, you just can't match up with them, because if Crosby doesn't score, then Kessel scores. If Kessel and Crosby don't score, Malkin scores. If Kessel, Crosby, and Malkin don't score, Connor Sherry has two goals. And you just trickle down the lineup, and it was always somebody new. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the last couple of years, that has really been what has given teams fits as far as matching up with them. And you talk about longer series and trying to beat a team four out of seven games. When you have that much of a punch, it's really difficult to do that. And, you know, this year, I think the Penguins had the players. There's no question about it. Those guys just, whether it was injury or what have you, they did not perform to the expectations that were set out for them. And maybe there's a little fatigue with having played 300-plus games over the last couple of years. But, you know, the Penguins aren't going to say that excuse publicly, even if it is one in their mind. So I just think that that was the biggest difference for me this year. It's easy to point to that, but, I mean, when you look at what the Capitals got, they had 11 different goal scorers the six games. The Penguins had five. And a handful of them came from the same guys in terms of multiple goals from Jake Guentzel and Sidney Crosby and Crystal Tang. So I think that that was really the difference in this series. And goaltending as well, obviously. Goaltending probably the biggest one. But when you look at from the Penguins, in the grand scheme of what was different the last couple of years, I think it was the lack of depth.
I think the last 2 years in running the Cups, I felt the Penguins had really good depth on their third and then their fourth line. How far off are they on a third and fourth line right now? Because, I mean, that's part of the attrition of the game.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And I would say that I don't think they're that far off, but I think Jim Rutherford has a very busy offseason ahead of him, because he has some big decisions to make. I mean, you look at the Penguins roster, Riley Sheahan is a restricted free agent. Ditto for Brian Rust, Tom Kunackle, and Dominic Simone. Mm-hmm. So you figure he's going to extend a qualifying offer to all of those guys, although I feel like Brian Rust is maybe the guy who gets a bridge deal, more of like a 3-year with some term to it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that number would be, but obviously the Penguins aren't necessarily in a position to be dishing out heavy numbers with how they're structured. So they'll definitely try to fit him into a decent deal that'll bridge his contract a bit. As far as the unrestricted guy, there's one, and it's Carter Rowney. And I would be shocked if he came back next year, because quite frankly, I don't see where he fits, especially as you mentioned, in the bottom six. If everyone who's on under contract right now comes back next year, it's going to be Malkin, Crosby, Sheahan, and Brassard as your four centermen. So, and I think the Penguins are pretty comfortable with a couple areas as far as having to call them up and jump in if they need to, like Jean-Sebastien Dee and Teddy Bluger, Adam Johnson. There's some talented younger guys down there that I think they wouldn't have a problem if they needed to. Give them a chance to come up and play with if injuries did happen, and they seem to with everybody during the course of the year. But those are the big things for me. As far as the wingers are concerned, I don't see any real issues on paper, but then you wonder what is going to happen on the ice. I mean, Carl Hagelin has to be better next year. If he's going to be coming back at $4 million a year, he has to have more than barely 10 goals, barely 20 points. Connor Sherry has to be better next year. I mean, these are guys that you're dishing out between them $7 million a year. You need more from those guys. Jake Guentzel was really good in the playoffs. Still had a 22-goal regular season, but I thought that he could even have had more with the opportunities he's had. So, you know, there's going to be some questions as far as will guys be able to rebound their game within the regular season. But I think that, in a weird way, the taste of losing right now for some of these guys that have never had that before, and even some of these older guys that haven't had it for the last couple of seasons and maybe forgot what it felt like, it's never a bad thing to get humbled, and I think that it could be a good thing in the long term for this team, especially going into the next season.
What about depth on defense?
That's going to be a question mark, because you wonder, I mean, not to speculate or anything, but Chris Letang's situation, it was a roller coaster year for him, to put it lightly, on the blue line. Obviously, sure. he had some crucial mistakes in this series that cost the Penguins dearly. To his credit, he owned up to them. This year, he was just appointed an alternate captain by Mike Sullivan in the beginning of the season. Obviously, he's dealt with a ton in his career between the stroke and the herniated disc in his neck, the injuries in between. I mean, there's been a lot of issues that he's dealt with off the ice, and he's put together a pretty legendary career on it. Probably, statistically speaking, he is the Penguins' best defenseman ever. And that's saying something with some of the guys that have been on the blue line back there. So I think that, you know, that's a guy that's obviously still a linchpin on the blue line, but at $7.25 million a year for the next 4 years after this season, that's a heavy number to pay a guy that is costing you a lot. So I'm not saying I think the Penguins will shop him, but I definitely don't think Jim Rutherford would hang up the phone if anyone called about him. Then you look at Justin Schultz, very cap-friendly deal, $5.5 million for the next two. Brian Dumoulin's really, really came on. He's the best defenseman on the Penguins' blue line in my mind.
Yeah.
With what he showed there in that series. He's only 26 years old. They have him locked up for the next 5 years. I think that's impressive. Ole Matta's the next 4 years. I thought he had a strong season.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Oleksiak is restricted. So they'll probably qualify him. Well, they will qualify him, but it's a matter of what they can work out term-wise. Chad Ruedel's under contract next year. And then you have Matt Hunwick, who I know kind of fell into the ire of the fans for some of his play this year, but I still think is a guy that has a lot left in the tank, and would not be surprised if Jim Rutherford gave him an opportunity to be one of the six defensemen for the Penguins next year. Minor league-wise, there are some options, but I don't know if there's anyone that's going to be able to jump in and be a legitimate NHL defenseman. There's a kid named Lucas Bengtsson who's in Wilkes-Barre right now. He has been battling a ton of strange ailments. He had POTS syndrome, which is some sort of nervous system syndrome last year that really banged him up and caused him to miss some time, an extended period of time, actually. And I know he's been recovering from that this year and learning how to play and deal with it. So he's a restricted free agent this summer. There's a lot of hope for him coming over from Sweden a couple of years ago, but I don't know if he's even going to get extended a qualifying offer or if he's just going to go back to Sweden. That's one of those guys to keep an eye on. But I wouldn't be surprised if he taps the free agency waters. And you know what? Don't put it past Jim Rutherford to try to see if he's maybe going to be able to find a way to bring Erik Karlsson here, because he is a free agent. Ottawa has not signed him yet.
Right.
And that would be a massive fish, and that would be a hard one to fit under the cap with what the Penguins are trying to do. But if you are able to potentially move a guy like Letang, then you free up a significant amount of space to make something happen. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kick the tires on that. There's obviously going to be a ton of teams interested in him, and it'll be interesting to see what they do back there.
It's interesting. The Penguins have done a brilliant job of keeping the window of this run as open as they've been able to. I always find that remarkable when teams can do that in this particular era. I look at Washington and feel like actually we're seeing the end of their window and they got in just in time. When you look at them and the matchup with Tampa Bay, how much better is Tampa Bay, in your opinion, than Washington?
Tampa Bay, to me, is the deepest team left in the postseason. I just think that they have, and everything's clicking for them right now. And they've had, you know, there's that old saying that you have to have a couple short series to win the cup. Penguins proved that wrong in 2009, of course. since the salary cap and all that kind of stuff, there haven't been many teams that have had long series after long series and gone on to win the cup. And they've now gone back-to-back five-game series. They're totally healthy as far as all their big guns are concerned. Andre Vasilevsky has really played well for them in the postseason. And I just see a team there that has four lines that, I mean, Chris Kunitz is on their fourth line. They can roll those lines. They have six defensemen that are not just strong defensively, but also mobile and can shoot the puck and bring some offensive upside from that end. And I really like John Cooper as a coach. I think he's a guy that keeps everything even keeled. And you know, you look at the Lightning, Steve, and I mean, Penguins obviously have won the Cup each of the last 2 years. They've kind of set the standard, but the Lightning missed the playoffs last year. But other than that, each of the last three seasons around that, so the two previous to last year and now this year, they've been in the Eastern Conference Final. So they've been the barometer of the Eastern Conference in a consistent basis just as much as the Penguins have as far as being one of the final two teams in the East. And they're there again right now, and they're the top team in the East from the regular season. I do not expect the Capitals to beat them, not because of them maybe, you know, getting too much of a high off this win from the Penguins. I just simply think the Lightning are the better team, and I actually expect them to win the Stanley Cup just based on how they're structured and how deep they are.
Yeah, and then how you feel about the part where the Washington's window actually was nearly being closed anyway, and they just barely got in?
I think that that's true. What I would look at, though, with the Capitals, and I think this is an interesting dynamic, is a little bit of something that happened with the Penguins in 2016 going on with the Capitals right now. Because, as you know, in 2016, when the Penguins came into the playoffs that year, it was more of, will they ever win another one with Sid and Gino? Will the Penguins ever get to that point again? Right. And they brought all these younger guys in that really didn't know the past failures. They didn't know the 3-1 choke jobs. They didn't know, stumbling into the postseason the year before with Mike Johnson and then getting knocked out by the Rangers. They didn't know any of that. Guys like Sherry and Matt Murray and Brian Rust, they knew it as far as being a part of the organization, but they weren't physically in the room and on those teams that messed up. And the Capitals had a couple guys in their lineup that I think made differences in this series that were not a part of that. I thought Michael Kempney was really good on the blue line for them. Jacob Varana, this kid is going to be a stud. He's only 24, and he looked really good in this series for the Caps. And sometimes you get those fresh bursts of energy, guys that are almost ignorant to what's happened in the past and blind to it. And I think that that does make a difference. And it clearly did for the Capitals. But when it came to their big guns, you also give them credit, too, because those guys definitely knew what was the elephant or the skeletons in the closets that they had as far as his matchup with the Penguins. And I thought Alex Ovechkin was tremendous the entire series.
Yes, he was.
And Braden Holtby was their best player. Yes. So that's why they're moving on.
Yeah, one last one. It's the fun one. Vegas. I mean, look, Josh, a year ago, no players. A year ago today, no players. it's not like it's never happened before, but when you put all six expansion teams in one division, one of them has to win two rounds. So like they did in 1967-68. I mean, they start out the season, everybody else is established, and they're not. When you watch them, what do you see?
I see a team, and I thought this when we were out there in December, Steve. This is a team that is so structurally sound.
Yeah.
And it's not just a couple lines. It's not just a couple defensemen, because they have four balanced lines. I mean, I wouldn't classify James Neal as a superstar. I would classify him as a goal scorer. And with that being said, I don't think they have a superstar. William Karlsson's obviously jumped onto the scene with the season he's had for them, but he's not quite a superstar status yet. And, I mean, you look at those guys, they don't necessarily have a guy. It's kind of like we were just talking about with the Penguins, except for they don't have the megastar in their lineup. There's no one guy that they depend on each night to have a big game offensively. And I think that kind of trickles down and has a translation to the success on the ice, and it makes it probably a nightmare for other teams to match up against them, because there's still, I mean, even with this season that they've had, there's still not a lot of data and video on a lot of these guys in their lineup, because they're younger guys that just have, you know, they're playing third and fourth line roles on their former teams, and now they have the shackles unleashed, and they're just rolling there in Vegas. And it's been fun to watch. I mean, I was thinking about it the other day, how weird it would be to look at the Stanley Cup next year and see Vegas Golden Knights this year. I don't know what that were for Seattle. That would be some bad news for them in 2020, because they probably totally restructure the expansion format. You know, it's been fun to watch. It's great for the league, let's be honest. I mean, it is great to have that kind of atmosphere going on out there and to have a team out in the West that's having a lot of success. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that are hoping they get Nashville and Vegas. The reporters in that series probably wouldn't be alive after game three. but that's probably what a lot of people are hoping for. But we'll see. I like Winnipeg, too. So that's going to be an interesting little turn of events there in the West.
In fact, that game in December I watched. I remember watching that game. I remember the speed with which Vegas played. Great speed. And James Neal is a lot like, in terms of level of play, Hornquist.
Yeah, he definitely has I'm talking about
like that kind of level in the league. Like, you go into tiers. I kind of feel like Neal's in the Hornquist tier.
He does have an ability, I think, in the playoffs to up his game, which Hornquist obviously does too, and has that flash for the dramatic. He's a guy that can fill the net. I mean, there's no question about it. He's definitely one of the guys I think they built around as far as offense is concerned. But I would say that, you know, obviously Carlson's jumped onto the scene. Eric Hall has become a really good player out there. Alex Tuck, I mean, they have some nice players, and they're young. And, I mean, George McPhee did a heck of a job planning that out and securing a really good hockey team that's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Look, when they do the awards thing, right, just – Executive of the Year, Coach of the Year.
I know, yeah. It's not even a contest, I think.
Hey, always a pleasure. Enjoyed it very much, and we will talk soon, I hope.
Okay, sounds good, Steve. Thank you.
Josh Getzoff from the Penguins Radio Network. Next half hour, Neil Coulon, USA Today, as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.